This is Cave Scott Allen of OTCO.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Herding Code. This show is being recorded on October 6, 2010. And tonight we are talking to Jackson Harper from the Mono team about his new web framework, Monos de Mono. Did I say that right?
Honestly, I'm Canadian, so I'm not really sure how to say it either. It is Spanish for hands of the monkey.
What are you talking about?
Okay, so, before we start, why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about what you do.
All right, well, my name's Jackson Harp. My day job, I've been working for Novell. Today's actually my 7-year anniversary here. I've been working on Mono the whole time. I work on Moonlight mainly right now, but in my spare time, I've been working on a web application framework named Manos, just trying to make things a little bit simpler, make things a little bit more like Django. Whenever I go to develop a web app, I kind of lean more towards Django than using the ASP.NET MVC stuff. Just feels more comfortable for me. So I want something like that, but I want to be able to write my apps in C#.
So what's different? What's unique? What's interesting about Monos as opposed to ASP.NET?
I think there's a different philosophy. Like when they were designing ASP.NET or MVC, they were probably saying like, these are our use cases that we need. And probably a lot of those were business cases and things like that. With Manos, I'm trying to do things more the way I would want to develop a web application. So I'm really focused on the workflow of how I think you should develop an app. I know a lot of people, when they first start an app, the sort of suggested way of writing an application is you sort of mock things up in Photoshop or whatever. Then you take that to the next step is you get HTML files. And then after that, you sort of start working on your code and everything. I feel like ASP.NET makes it a little bit difficult. That step going from HTML to the ASPX, I think, is kind of tricky. So that's one of the big areas that I'm trying to solve. I'm trying to make the templates look enough like HTML that it's really easy to get from that point. The other thing that I think is a little different is I feel like it's a little bit simpler. You can tie a URL right to a method. You know, that request is made, your parameters are converted, your method is called. There's not really as much of a controller layer. It's more of just URL method.
So you're talking about making the views look more like HTML. And I know like over time in the ASP.NET world, first there was Spark, and then now the new Razor engine is trying to do something similar in that, you know, you've got, I don't know, less obtrusive views where, you know, you've got more HTML centric and the code is less, you know, in the way and noisy. Is that, how would you compare? Have you looked at Razor? How would you compare for a developer that's just looked at MVC with Razor syntax to how things work with Manos?
I think it's actually fairly similar to Razor. Razor's maybe blurs the lines a little bit between like what is your C# code and what is your markup. And that's what scares me a little bit about the Razor syntax is that it seems like it might be a little bit easy to get confused and you might not be able to easily tell if you're in C# at the time or if you're in markup because it kind of blurs the lines. The Manos's template engine is very similar to Razor, except it's a little more explicit. Like you actually say for each and then you say end for each instead of just having the closing bracket. But it's the same sort of idea, trying to get away from tags as much. Just make the code look like HTML. It's a lot simpler that way. And it's a lot easier to mock up and build yourself. You can, you know, sort of make it in Notepad or Emacs or whatever and refresh it in the browser instead of having to actually make controls or anything like that.
So what are the pieces of Monos? What are the pieces of the stack that it includes?
Right now what we have is sort of like the core engine. So that does like the routing, handles the requests and everything. I'm finishing up the template engine or sort of midway through the template engine right now also. And the big sort of missing piece is it doesn't have any sort of ORM or data layer. And I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to do there. I think for now I'm just going to let people use what they want. I mean, there's no reason you can't use nhibernate or system.data or anything like that. There's also a little bit of stuff with managing your environment so you can have different configuration setups. Like if you want to have a production setup, a test setup, and a dev setup, it's got functionality for that.
So can you kind of walk us through what you know, what the developer experience is when they sit down with this thing, what are the steps that they go through to get up a basic, you know, one page kind of site.
Yeah, well, right now, I guess one thing I forgot to mention right off the bat was that this really doesn't cater towards Windows.NET developers at all yet. This is sort of something that I'm writing for, you know, myself in a way, and I use Mono, I work on Linux, and I use Emacs. So there's no IDE or anything, there's just a command line tool. You just do manos-init, and that's going to create your sample project, or your basic project. And that's just going to be an application C# file. It's going to be a templates directory. We use the HTML5 Bootstrap project, so it includes like jQuery and has a really nice template setup, modernizer, a bunch of really nice JavaScript things in there. And then from there, you can there's a couple different ways of adding routes. You can do sort of like the Sinatra type thing, like right in your constructor, you could say get and then give it a delegate. And when a get is called for that path that you supply, that delegate will be invoked. You could do that like a post also, any HTTP verb. Or you could just create a method. If you create a method named index and you sort of have the right parameter signature, that'll insert a route named index. And then if you want to give it some different paths, you can put an attribute on there. So you could put a get attribute on there, give it a bunch of different paths. Like, for example, usually you'd want index, and you might also want to map like home and then just like slash all to that same route. So you can just do that in your attribute. Then whenever that's invoked, you just get a context object and you can write to your response stream.
So what pieces of the underlying .NET framework or the ASP.NET part of the framework does this build on? Or is it none? Is it all, you know, ground up, just monos?
It's totally ground up. So I use Corelib and I use system, but I don't use system.web at all. It does its own HTTP parsing. It handles connections itself. I wrote the web server part from scratch. It's sort of based on the Tornado project. If you go to Tornado Web, it was a web server that was originally designed for FriendFeed. And so it uses that same sort of type of web server as that, as the underlying server. I also build on I use the parallel extension stuff a little bit.
Okay, and so that means you're handling everything like session management, security, authentication, all that stuff on your own then?
Well, there actually isn't session management or authentication yet. Authentication will probably be the next thing I add. It's not too much work, but yeah, I am handling all that on my own. The reason for that is it should make deployment a lot easier with Manos. I think that's been really tricky with ASP.NET on Mono, is deployment and sort of getting your web server set up and everything. And a lot of that's because it wasn't originally designed to be deployed in that way. So this Manos is designed to be deployed on Linux, and so it's should be a little easier to do that. The other reason is I wanted to create a non-blocking web server. So as opposed to like XSP, which is our web server that handles ASP.NET, I don't create a thread per connection or use the thread pool. It queues all the connections, which allows you to handle a lot more connections at once. The thing it's really nice for is long polling. So a lot of websites now, like if you go to Twitter and you just leave your page there, it's creating a long poll connection to the server, and it's waiting to see when more tweets are sent to you. And when they are, it pushes it through the connection and the page tells you you have more tweets. So I think a lot of applications are going to start doing that now. I think most applications now are going to be doing long polling. So I thought that was sort of a cool niche that would be something people could use Manos for.
Is that kind of the comet scenario?
It allows you to have a persistent connection. So you can do a keep alive connection that stays open, and that connection could stay open for hours, and Manos wouldn't really care because it's not creating a thread for that connection. It's just sort of, you know, keeping track of the socket handle, and when that socket has data sent to it, then it's sort of firing things up and working.
Got it. Okay. But,
yeah. So if you think about Twitter, obviously there's, you know, thousands or millions of people that all are at twitter.com. They all have a connection to the web server.
Okay.
So it's that same sort of idea. You just leave the connection open, and when there's data, you push or pull.
So this web server it's not like a little development web server. This is a production level web server, is that right?
Yeah, I don't mean for this to be a toy web server at all. It's not like, I forget the name of the one that comes with ASP.NET, the little one that, you know, runs in your system tray icon.
Yeah, Cassini.
Yeah, yeah, it's nothing like that. This is meant to, you know, handle thousands of connections. It's meant to be faster than ASP.NET. It's, you know, not meant to be there just to make development easier. It's meant to be a high-performance server. And that's where most of the work I've done so far has been sort of on the performance end of things.
So I saw comments from people on, I think it was on your blog, and they were saying, oh, great, now I don't have to worry about learning Node.js. And so, I mean, is there kind of some overlap? You were talking about the long connections and not relying on threads and that. So, I mean, is it more event-based in a way that is similar to Node.js?
Yeah, we actually, as of yesterday, it's actually using the same underlying event library as Node.js, the libev or libev. I'm not sure how you're supposed to say that, but it's using the same underlying technology as Node.js, basically, that you create a non-blocking socket and you don't just fire up a thread for each connection. So I don't know if people should not learn Node.js because Manos is there, but it is meant to be used in sort of similar situations.
And then because of that, I saw also on that post that you're saying that Windows is going to make, it's going to take more time for that to work on Windows. Does that mean like not just that it's not, you know, with the pretty IDE stuff for Windows, but it actually won't run on Windows?
As of right now, it won't run on Windows, but the work I just did switching over to this libev library will allow it to run on Windows. Previously, I was sort of doing what libev did on my own, and so now I've switched over to that library, and that should make it more portable. It already runs on the Mac now. Windows, there's just one last little thing that's holding it up.
Cool.
And does it require Mono? Like, if you were going to run it on Windows, would it have to run on Mono on Windows, or would it be able to run on the Microsoft's framework?
It should be able to run fine on .NET. It doesn't do any special hooks. Right now, it uses the Mono.POSIX library, so it can make some, you know, Unix calls, but it won't need to do those anymore after a little bit more work. I just have to figure out how you do send file on Windows. So I obviously want to support Windows as a platform, but it's not really my primary target. When I think about the people that I want to use Manos, I don't want to think of, you know, stealing users from ASP.NET. I'd prefer to think that I'm stealing users from Django or Rails or things like that, or Node.js. So instead of, you know, making my piece of the pie bigger, I want to make the whole pie bigger for all of us.
Okay, so we talked a little bit about this web server. We've got routing. We've got a template engine. What are some other components of the system?
I think that's, for the most part, that's it. The one last little thing, which I'm still sort of toying around with and trying to figure the best way of doing it, is configuration management. You know, that's one thing that's really nice about Rails and Django is that, you know, you have your local dev set up and then you have your production set up. And so I'm sort of trying to figure out how I want to do that. I have a strict no XML policy, so I'll probably be using C# scripting.
What about things like model binding, you know, parameter dispatch, that sort of stuff?
But parameter dispatch, do you mean like sort of mapping URL parameters to?
Right.
To, yeah, I do have that. That's one of the sort of part of the routing is it will map your parameters. It'll pull them out of the URL or out of your query string or even out of your posted form data if you want. And then it tries to be kind of smart and convert things for you. Like it'll try and the HTML usually submits like a checkbox is on or off and it converts that to a bool for you if you want. And then that's sort of where my Silverlight experience has been useful is it's somewhat similar. It's sort of mapping XAML to managed code. This is kind of feels like the same thing where we're mapping HTML to managed functions. So we use type converters and all that stuff.
What about sort of richer model binding where you're, you know, you can, like in ASP.NET MVC, you can you know, render an object, so to speak, and it will, you know, use a set of conventions to emit the HTML for that and then be able to bring those form fields back in and reconstruct the model at post time. I mean, are you talking about that level of model round tripping, or is it just the sort of simple parameter stuff?
Yeah, just parameter mapping. I think if you really wanted to do that, you could probably sort of build something with type converters, but I think that's kind of the thing that I'm trying to stay away from. Trying to be, you know, a little less enterprisey. And
now Rails does that. So if Rails does it, it can't.
All right. Well, if Rails does it, then I'll implement it because it must be the right thing to do.
I heard Rails is all about the enterprise now, though. Is it web scale? Can I ask that?
Web scale. you might have to define that one for me.
Well, you know, web scale.
I believe it is web scale.
Oh, good.
But you know, as I said, the only people using it right now are inside the enterprise, so I can't be sure.
Right. So like I'm thinking of, you know, selling points, things that are cool compared to other stacks that are out there. So when you were saying the Vue engine, lightweight, stays out of the way, more HTML like, and then the routing system is nice, and the non-threaded architecture and the high performance side of it is big. So are those kind of the main kind of selling points that get people excited about it?
I think so, but I also think that's kind of not the way I'm trying to look at things. Like I'm trying not to, you know, make one of those grids where you have Manos at the top and, you know, all the other frameworks along the side, and you put check marks for which features
this
they
have.
This
is how it works on your Wikipedia page, comparison of all, you know, web frameworks. Yeah. This, I'm filling it in right now while we're on the call.
Oh, are you? Excellent. That's kind of what I'm trying to get away from, and I think that might be one of the places where we mess up when we're developing things. Is I'm really trying to think about how people do things instead of like I need X, Y, and Z. And so I'm thinking like, okay, if I want to build a site like this, I'm going to start here, and the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to say, you know, hey designer, can you make this HTML page for me? Or I'm going to go online, I'm going to grab a free template or something like that. Or if I'm making a site like Twitter, the first thing I'm going to do is set up my long polling and things like that. But that's sort of how I'm trying to decide what goes in and what stays out of Manos. Is sort of like if there's a real use case need for it, and I can see how it fits into the workflow and how it makes the workflow better, then I'll adopt that feature. But if it's, you know, a checkbox on my Wikipedia page, I'll probably just stay away from it.
See, we're sort of comparing this to frameworks like Django and Ruby on Rails, and even Node, right? And the distinguishing characteristic there is that those are all built on dynamic languages. Was this a challenge with C#?
I think some people have tried to do this and have failed because they sort of try and make C# into a dynamic language, and they don't really, you know, take advantage of some of the nicer things about C#. They basically just try and copy the good things from Rails or the good things from Django or things like that. But I didn't quite try and do that. I tried to say, like, you know, what's the C#-y way of doing this? And the more I think about it, I think it's not really the actual dynamicness of those languages that makes them really nice for web development. It's more some of like the syntactic sugar that they have, things like that. And C# has a lot of syntactic sugar too. I don't really feel the need to change a variable's type all that often. And I actually really like knowing the types of my variables when they get passed into a function. That was actually probably one of my biggest hangups with Django is, you know, you'd have a method that's getting called and sometimes you weren't quite sure what you were getting in there.
I was poking around the examples on GitHub and I was trying to figure out what's going on with the templates actually. It's like if you find something like about.html, it's got the curly braces and percent signs and will have tokens in there like message or block content and end block. Is this something that gets combined with HTML, or is this actually just emitting directly from this?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the technical term for those braces are open and close mustache.
Ah, sorry. You can send the wolf after me.
I'm sure that's in a wiki somewhere.
It works similar, obviously, to most templating languages. It's based on a template language called Jinja 2. You use inheritance, so like a master page, you inherit from your page, and a block is sort of like a method call. So okay, you can stick content in a block. I mean, the typical scenario would be you'd have your main base page, And then in there, you'd have a block named content. And then in your, say we're making a site about dogs, then in your Labrador page or whatever, you'd have a content block, just a content block, and in that, the information on Labradors.
Gotcha.
So it uses inheritance quite a bit.
So if I have a list of things that I want to get into my template, how do I know what I'm working with inside the template?
In terms of type safety inside the template?
Right.
There really isn't too much type safety inside the template. It's kind of, I would think that it's sort of best practice to send simple data types in there
right.
for the most part. It deals...
Yeah, that was part of the question, but I guess also I was just trying to figure out if I send title into a template,
mm-hmm.
I'm just pulling that out just by using a token title, right?
Right, right.
Okay.
Oh, so what you do is it pulls that from the property of the object passed into it, which sounds kind of weird, but the nice thing there is it means you can pass in an anonymous type. So you can just do like new open mustache title equals Labradors and pass that in. So I think it makes that pretty simple. I think it cleaned, a friend of mine suggested that and it cleaned things up quite a bit. Or if you want to, you could have an actual type, you could pass in your dog object and it could be dog.title or dog.name or something like that.
So you mentioned Django as an inspiration for this. Do look at a lot of different web frameworks as you were building this thing and, take what you liked from each one, or was it just you sort of synthesized this thing out of how you like to work?
I guess so. How Manos came to be is sort of a weird story in that maybe almost a year ago, maybe even more than a year ago, I was talking to some friends and I was like, what would it take to get you guys to start using ASP.NET? Again, these are guys that had used C# and now they've moved on. They're using Rails or Django, things like that. And they said the first thing would be a better template engine. They really didn't like the ASPX template engine. So I started making a template engine, and my plan was to just run this on ASP.NET, use that template engine there. And I also used Kayak for a while, so I was running it on Kayak for a while. And then they said the next thing was deployment. With Windows, you don't have SSH, so it seems like it's always a little bit of a hassle actually deploying applications on Windows. It seems like there's a lot of R desktoping and things like that. So I moved on. I did deployment for a while. And then I just was listening to a podcast one day and I heard about Tornado and I started checking out the source. And I was like, that sounds kind of cool. I'd like to have something like that for Mono so I could do these long polling apps in Mono. So I wrote that. And then I realized I've got a template engine already. I've done all this work on deployment. Maybe I can stick these pieces together and make a nice web framework. So that's how it came to be. Django was probably the biggest inspiration because that's the platform that I've always been most comfortable with. If 6 months ago, if you said, hey, I need this web app, I probably would have done it in Django.
So what kind of applications are you using it for?
Well, I guess that's the problem with writing a framework is you never get the time to actually write any apps with it. There's a few little things that I want to do. When I had the idea of tying everything all together, I had a plan for a website that I wanted to do for my dad's company. They're actually still using a lot of old Access, Microsoft Access stuff, and I really wanted to turn that into a web application for them. So that's sort of my target. That's what I hope that I can make that someday. There's one guy that's already sort of prototyping some long polling stuff. He's basically doing what I was talking about where he'll want to update sort of parts of a page, and he's looking at using Manos for that. I think that's probably where most people will look at it first. I hope it can grow into full web framework, but I think that might wind up being its niche for a little while at least.
And then you'd mentioned before the whole parallel aspects and what you like about the parallel capabilities in .NET. Other than the performance aspects on the server, are there any other things that are just cool about, do you want to talk more about the parallel aspects and what you like about them?
I think parallelism and multi-core computing is one of the places that .NET sort of sets itself apart from these other languages. And obviously it's one of the places that we do a lot better than Python and, and Ruby and things like that. So it's definitely one of the things that, you know, would be a benefit to using C Sharp. It's one of the really nice things about .NET. So I think it probably won't be really core to Manos, the using parallelism right now, but it's probably something that will draw people towards the platform. Like, you know, perhaps there's a guy writing something in Python right now and he wants to use more of the cores on his server more effectively. So maybe this is somewhere he'll look.
So then are you using any of the more recent .NET 4 parallel things, or, you know, any like task parallel library or anything, or are you using just kind of at the base level of what's available and then you're handling all the parallel stuff yourself?
Up until just yesterday when I switched over to this library, basically what we were doing was it would be doing as much reading as it could, and then as it's reading, it's creating a queue of all the requests, and then it would just do, you know, as parallel on that queue and, you know, as parallel run. And it was really fast. It was really cool that it's so easy to do that in .NET. You know, just add one little method to your link statement and all of a sudden you're using all the cores on your machine. It's pretty cool to me. But since I made the switch over, I haven't gotten it back to using that yet. The threading model's a little more complicated now. Should say, one place I see that C Sharp, I think, could really get some traction is, you know, running tasks on the server. That's where the performance and things like as parallel, I think, will be really important. And so I could see a lot of people using Manos as sort of a front end for submitting or queuing up tasks and having them run on the server side.
That's always been a weird thing in ASP.NET. Like, you could do it, but you had to kind of figure out how you wanted to handle it, you know, all the background tasks and server side tasks, and, you know, do you run a timer, or, you know what I mean? Is that something where there's any other support or a smart way of doing that you would handle any kind of background task stuff?
Yeah, it's not in there yet. I've got a little drawing of how it will work on my whiteboard here, but that's one of the things that has always sort of bugged me. It seems like every web framework, it's a little bit difficult to just say, like, hey, do this in the background for a while. So that's one of the problems that I want to solve, because I feel like I run into that every time I'm working on a website. So you should be able to just either post a message, or you can have timers that will be set to run in the background.
In preparation for this, we asked if there were any questions from people on Twitter to ask you about when you came on. And there's one from Z Bowling, which I don't even fully understand. So you can, maybe you do. He says, talk about the C10K problem.
That's actually sort of what I've been talking about. That's just the ability to handle 10,000 connections at once. There's a website for it and some research into it. And basically that problem was presented. And that's why some of these modern web servers are moving more into this model that Manos uses, this sort of non-blocking async model, is to be able to handle that many connections at once, as opposed to the thread pool model, which doesn't handle it that well.
And have you actually done any kind of, you know, load performance testing on your web server to, you know, explore its limits?
I haven't been able to do like any good comparison testing yet, but my regression tests, they actually, so I have my regular unit tests, and then the regression tests will, you know, create a server and make a bunch of connections. And for each test, it does 10,000 connections and it keeps them alive. And it runs pretty well. I mean, just comparing it to like XSP, which is our sort of little ASP.NET container, it's faster. It's difficult to get percentages because I haven't been able to do good benchmarking yet. And the other thing is, when you're doing these load testing, you need to obviously run it from a bunch of machines. So I wrote a script a while ago that will create EC2 instances, and it'll deploy Manos to one of them, and then it'll, you know, create 20 instances, and all those instances will try to pound on it. But I don't run that one very much because it costs me a couple dollars every time I do it.
So the thing, and maybe you've kind of already touched on this, talking about the threading and all this, but one of the things that I thought was interesting was that Manos came with its own web server and kind of a full HTTP abstraction on top of that. There's been a lot of activity kind of in the .NET space around either building a Sinatra-like framework for ASP.NET, or kind of thinking, well, do we really want to be tied to ASP.NET? Do we want to just be able to work at the HTTP level, or maybe just as a as an ISAPI filter or something like that on IIS. And a lot of people have kind of kicked this around. I started like playing around with an idea of doing like a rack implementation on top of ASP.NET so that you could write mono code or .NET code to this kind of iRack, which was an unfortunate name, but interface, the same kind of idea as rack. And so kind of building this framework that comes with its own web server and HTTP extractions kind of solved two problems for me. The first one was that I didn't want to be tied to ASP.NET, and the second one is that I'm having a hell of a time trying to get mono implementation of ASP.NET running in any kind of shared hosting environment, anything where I don't control the entire machine and can set up all the Apache mod, filters, plugins, whatever I need. And so I thought that was interesting that was the approach that you took with this. I guess it's not really a question, is it?
I guess it might not be. But that is one of the big problems, is it can be very difficult to deploy. I think ASP.NET in general can be a little tricky to deploy dealing with. I haven't dealt with IIS for a long time, but I think it can be a little tricky. And then, deploying on Linux, especially because a lot of people aren't used to Linux and haven't used Linux a lot too. So a lot of these sort of newer Linux users are trying to run their ASP.NET applications on Linux, and it is a struggle to get it configured and running properly. And we have taken sort of some of my ideas from working on MAUS. We're going to try to implement some of those and make it easier to run ASP.NET on Linux. I think we've got a couple good ideas for making that easier. But yeah, having your own HTTP stack definitely makes things a lot easier. It makes development easier, and then it makes deployment easier. And it's really not that hard either. I think I always thought of it would be like a massive amount of work until I saw some of these other web application frameworks that were doing it themselves. And I was like, oh, that's really not that much work. It's not that bad.
The other thing that I liked about it was that we all kind of independently came up with the same syntax. it was basically, whatever method, route, comma, func or expression or whatever.
Yeah, it's funny. I put that syntax in like my first blog post on it. So it's been kind of getting this reputation as a Sinatra-like web app framework, but really I very rarely use that syntax. For the most part, I just create methods and put attributes on them if I need to give extra stuff. But I do find that syntax a little bit useful for just, toying around if you need to, sort of poke at things a little bit. It can be handy for that.
Well, one of the things that I disliked about ASP.NET MVC and Rails was that the routing and the wire up of the route to the handler was so separate from the actual handlers that you'd make, the controllers. So when I saw that Sinatra syntax, it just kind of clicked for me. Yeah, you define the route, and you could define, the handler right there. You can pass it in, you can define it wherever you want, but you can just say, okay, for this route, here's the thing that I want to handle it, the method. And I found reading Sinatra code for me was a lot easier, or code that followed that syntax, let's say, because I think it's going to be everywhere in web apps in the next couple of years. So you kind of went with an attribute-based thing, and I haven't gotten to play with Monos. I just cloned the repository a couple of days ago, and then all hell is broken loose. So I haven't gotten to sit down and play with it. But I was wondering what your thoughts were on, that kind of tying together the routing with the handler versus attribute-based versus defining your routes in a separate file and going from there.
It's funny because to me that's an easy way of doing it, to just, I got my method, put the route right on it. But one of the complaints I have had is like a lot of people have said, what I like better about XYZ framework is that all the routes are together in one spot. So I think it comes down to a personal preference thing, and I'll probably have to support both, and you can sort of do whatever feels comfortable to you. But to me, I feel I feel like path calls a function, and that makes sense to me, and that function returns some HTML. That sort of seems like what a website should be to me, and I feel like we've sort of stuck an extra couple layers in there that might not need to be in there.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for coming on, Jackson, and telling us about Monos. We'll put a link to the project in the show notes, and look forward to seeing more about it in the future.
Great. Thank you very much for having me, guys.